All right, going into that new year, we all want the hot tip strategy, you know, whatever that golden unlock insight that is going to help scale up our businesses or help us grow our fledgling audiences. I don't know what form it will take for you. And I know we've covered many of these channels, topics, strategies in the past over the years, done this many years, but it changes over time. And that's why I like to revisit things. And so far, you know, we've talked Google Ads this year with Menahem and some other marketing strategies. I want to talk today about affiliate marketing, because as you know, obviously social media just keeps getting bigger, faster, stranger, right? But the opportunity there is huge. And one of the ways for an e-commerce brand to get in front of that money, that audience, those eyeballs, is through affiliate marketing with influencers. But there's farther reach for it. But I don't know a ton about affiliate marketing. I've implemented it. The technical side, that part doesn't seem that hard. But I think the soft skills, the softer side of it, there's a lot of nuance to it. And so I need somebody who's an expert to explain it, to break it down for me. And we've got today with us Noah Tucker. Noah Tucker founded an app called Social Snowball. I see this thing recommended regularly. I've never used it, but I know it's legit, just like through osmosis, through association to it on Twitter. And I think he's been at that 3 years. You know what? Why should I explain it to you? We'll have him tell us about us. Noah Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Social Snowball. Give me the elevator pitch.
Sure. So, you know, at the highest level overview, we are an affiliate and referral platform for e-commerce brands. More specifically, we help e-commerce brands partner with what I like to call the more modern affiliate. So when we use the word affiliate, I think, especially in e-commerce, it can have different meanings and it can mean very different channels that for different types of brands when they use that word affiliate. And I think if you were to zoom back like 10 years ago, let's say, or maybe even like five, but let's say 10 years ago, and you said the word affiliate to anyone in the e-commerce space, the type of affiliate that they'd be thinking of back then is very different than what a lot of brands are focused on now. So what I mean by that is, like, back then, the word affiliate to brands meant like publishers, review sites, bloggers, listicles, media buyers. Like, that's kind of what affiliate meant. And today, those types
like blog reviews. Like,
you
know, years ago, there was mattresses. Verticals, industries, like certain things get huge in e-commerce. Like, there's trends for sure. I'm sure for a while, everybody was trying to sell fidget spinners. But like mattresses, you know, big purchase. How do you figure that out? You Google it. Well, at least, you know, I'm a Xennial. I'm 41. You Google it and then you end up on a blog like The Wire Cutter. Oh man, I love The Wire Cutter. But that's all affiliate links, right? Those are affiliates. So that's like traditional. And then you used in air quotes, modern affiliates. Tell me about the difference there.
Yeah, exactly. I like to call those the older ones like the legacy affiliates. But even though they are like legacy slash traditional, they're still important today. I don't think brands should ignore them. It's just also undeniable to acknowledge that there's also this modern affiliate that exists. And under that umbrella, I'm talking about like influencers, social media creators, ambassadors, and even a brand's own customers can be affiliates. And so, you know, there's these two very different types of affiliates. And the only thing that's similar about them is that you are partnering with them on a performance-only deal, right? So you're paying them a commission for the sales that they can generate you, which is great because it's less risky. But the thing is, like, these modern affiliates, the functionality and the user experience and the tools and automations that you would need as a brand owner to have a successful partnership with a modern affiliate is super different than what you would need for a successful partnership with a legacy affiliate. They're just two different of channels. Everything from onboarding those partners to generating their codes and links, sending payments, et cetera, is just very different for each type of affiliate. So Social Snowball is the first affiliate platform for e-commerce that's just laser focused on this new type of affiliate and helping brands enable partnerships with this new type of affiliate and making that whole user experience for both the brands managing it and for the affiliates on the receiving end of the program just as smooth, frictionless, and intuitive as possible. So to make that a reality, we sort of had to rebuild a lot of pieces of the traditional affiliate model so that when you do roll out a program like this for your creators or your customers, it's a very smooth and just positive experience all around.
Oh, for sure. You said Social Snowball, you started this about 3 years ago. That's not that long ago. What'd you do before that, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I was on the brand side of the e-commerce world for a while. Literally, actually, like right after I graduated high school, I started kind of getting sucked into this world because I had a couple friends who were building stores and I thought it was super cool. So they helped me build a store. And then I got really into the marketing side of things. So I was running paid ads and, you know, building some of my own stores. I was consulting with some other brands. And I really just got deep into this whole marketing world. And a piece of what I would help any brand implement would be an ambassador strategy, like affiliate, ambassador, you know, referral, whatever you want to call it. And so having that experience, I used basically every other existing affiliate, ambassador, et cetera, tool that existed in the Shopify ecosystem. And at the time, I was just like, wow, these all suck. What I learned is that they didn't suck. They were just built for that legacy affiliate. So if I was partnering with publishers, maybe it would have actually been exactly what I needed. But I wasn't. I was reaching out to people on Instagram. I was reaching out to customers. I was, you know, reaching out to influencers on other channels. I was just trying to find what, you know, I now call the modern affiliate. And I was trying to onboard them to a platform that wasn't built for that. And when you try to do that, just it's a nightmare of a user experience. Everything breaks. So that's kind of where the idea first started.
All right. I've heard affiliate and referral program mentioned. They're similar but different. What's the difference? Break it down for me.
Sure. So I think when people use the word referral, they're usually, and everyone kind of has different meanings for these words, so take this with a grain of salt. But in general, when people use the word referral, they're talking about their customer base. The thing is, usually customers are not treated as affiliates the same way like an influencer would be. They're usually treated as just like in a loyalty program where they could maybe get a coupon if they refer a friend or get like points. So that's actually something that we're working to change with Social Snowball. We want to turn customers into actual affiliates, be able to incentivize them to really drive revenue, not just kind of throw them into like a half-baked rewards program. But usually when people use the word referral, they're just talking about a program for their customers to refer friends, not necessarily influencers or creators.
And the functionality there, like the way those things are implemented, so similar that often, you know, an affiliate and a referral program, it's the same thing. And I know, like, Social Snowball, I mean, just the page, the title tag, it's affiliate and referral, right?
Yeah.
What's the, from a technical standpoint, what changes there?
So we are kind of like the first company to kind of blend them together. Believe it or not, most brands are keeping these programs very separate. Most brands have like just a referral program for customers. That's more of a loyalty program. Maybe it's actually part of their loyalty program app is allowing them to have a referral feature. And then they have a separate affiliate program that's either for influencers or for like legacy affiliates, like publishers. Social Snowball is the first company to really merge them together because the way that we view it is a referral program should be treated like an affiliate program because the goal of a referral program is driving customer acquisition and it's, you know, driving revenue. But when you treat a referral program as like part of a loyalty program and the only incentive for a customer to refer their friend is a loyalty-based incentive like a coupon or points or store credit, you're basically saying that if you have a customer that's a huge fan of yours but isn't planning their next purchase, they don't really have that incentive to refer a friend because the only incentive is loyalty-based. The incentive only holds value if they're planning the next purchase. So maybe you have a lower LTV brand like furniture or something and people just aren't buying more than once, but your customer base still loves you and they still want to refer friends, but your incentive only is a coupon, so they don't really have that incentive to drive a referral. Or you're a more standard LTV brand, people are making repeat purchases and you know your customer refers one or two friends, but then after like three referrals, they have three coupons sitting in their account. Do they really have an incentive to drive that fourth, fifth, and beyond referral? It's a little bit of a mixed, you know, it's kind of like blurring the area between loyalty and customer acquisition, and you end up not maximizing either. But when you turn your customers into actual affiliates and the incentives for them to refer friends are aligned with the end goal of customer acquisition, you're paying them in cash, right? Because that's what an affiliate program is. And when you're paid in cash, it could be a brand that you would only buy once from, like furniture. Cash is still an incentive to refer a friend. You could have referred 30 previous friends. You still want that 31st cash payout because it's not like a coupon that kind of loses value as you collect more of them. So this is kind of like the shift that we take with Social Snowball is helping brands actually turn customers into actual affiliates and making that entire process obviously smooth and easy for the payouts and all of that is super important. But the difference is just customers of all kinds, regardless of if they're planning the next purchase or not, will all be engaged in the program, obviously assuming they like your product, but we're hoping that's the majority of your customers.
I want context. So we've got this idea of modern affiliate marketing. And I'd like to point out that when you introduce the phrase modern affiliate marketing, you put it in air quotes. So when you hear modern affiliate marketing, just like picture those air quotes. I think it's helpful to walk through an example use case step by step. So I want to spin up my affiliate program. I want to get modern, I want this modern affiliate to be in my program.
Yeah.
Run me through an example.
Sure. So there's a few different approaches here. One like kind of similar to what we're talking about is turning customers into affiliates. And I think turning customers into affiliates is great because it's not a ton of work for the brand. It's not like a huge lift. It's more low hanging fruit, but it can drive meaningful results. And so essentially the way this would work is, you know, instead of having to have all of your customers like manually enroll and wait for an approval process if they want to join your affiliate program, what we help brands do is turn customers into affiliates automatically as soon as they make a purchase. So whenever a new customer is placing an order on your store, as soon as they make it to the order confirmation page, we've already taken their order data from Shopify checkout, and we use that to automatically generate them an affiliate account, automatically generate them a link or code with their name in it, and then given all of that information to them natively on the thank you page as soon as they complete the purchase. So without any sign up page or without any click here to get your code or fill in your email or fill in your friend's email or anything, all their affiliate info is already generated. It's given to them on the thank you page so they can start sharing it instantly. And then of course we could have additional follow-up touch points in the post-purchase journey through email and SMS to remind them to share their code and share them examples of, you know, how other affiliates are earning. But it's essentially like throwing a net over your entire audience, bringing everyone into the affiliate program rather than it being something that people will have to seek out and wait for a manual approval. And the result, as I'm sure you can imagine, is just a much higher customer to affiliate activation rate. And at scale, like we've seen brands generate a ton of new customer acquisition by automating this piece of the program.
So what's the, all right, so person purchases and then they're in a flow. So like X amount of days, weeks later, they get this offer that, hey, we'll give you a cut if you will shill this to your friends and you give them example content or like example use case. I think that's the real magic.
Totally.
What does that offer look like? What are we paying here?
That's a great question. It's usually a two-sided incentive. So there's usually a commission that you're paying to the initial advocate, let's call them, the customer that's driving the referral. And then that customer is able to offer a discount to their friend. Exactly. So that customer is also able to offer a discount. So I would say like standard, there's, you know, no magic number, usually between 10 and 20% of the referral sale is what the advocate is getting paid. And then the new customer discount, it just needs to be any welcome offer you have on your website for like a email sign up, because if it's lower, then people are going to go with a higher discount and it's going to be hard to track sales.
So no better sales channel, no better acquisition channel than word of mouth marketing. Here we're just really, we're incentivizing that. We're trying to add a little oil, speed things along.
Exactly.
But like that's all for existing customers. You know, that sounds like that's the referral program. Many people have audiences now, which that's, you know, that changes things. If we're thinking strictly affiliate, does that change it?
So like influencer affiliate?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. So it's funny because like we all use these words in such different ways. So we call it customer affiliate because we're turning the customers into affiliates, but referral would also be a fine word for that, obviously. Influencer affiliate, though, I mean, there's a lot of really great strategies that we've seen brands implement. You know, product seeding, for example. So basically brands will reach out to a ton of influencers and they'll just send them an email saying like, hey, I'd love to send you my product. And then essentially once an influencer says yes, then you'll be able to gift the influencer that product. Obviously, you'll also generate them an affiliate code and link. And then you're just having a ton of content be created at scale and posted on these influencers' accounts. So not only are you driving organic traffic and organic revenue from the audiences of these influencers, but you're also generating a ton of content that you could reuse and repurpose in other channels. So if you need content for paid ads or to use in your emails or put on your website, by gifting influencers at scale, it kind of is like providing your business with a lot of positive impact beyond just driving revenue.
Did you say gifting influencers at scale?
Yeah. Yeah. So
we're doing product seeding.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, so you could do product seeding as well?
You can. You can. Yeah. So that would also fall under the modern affiliate umbrella as well, as long as you are treating these influencers that you're seeding as affiliates. If you're just sending them the product and then never giving them a link or code to share, you're probably not going to get as much content from them because they have no real motivation to continue posting maybe after one post because there's no upside in it for them.
This episode is sponsored in part by Cleverific. Imagine freeing up hours of support time every week because your customers can manage their own order adjustments. That's what Cleverific makes possible. Cleverific gives customers the flexibility to add items, change shipping details, or even cancel their orders, all through a straightforward customer portal. And what it gives you is the peace of mind knowing your order process is smoother, your team is more efficient, and your customers are happier. Peter Manning, New York, a prominent retailer, cut their order support queries by a staggering 99% after integrating Cleverific. And they're not alone. Remember, Cleverific not only reduces the number of support tickets, but also speeds up order processing and minimizes errors. Your customers handle their own simple changes, freeing up your team to focus on what really matters, growing your business. Sign up today at cleverific.com/unofficial and enjoy 50% off their pro plan when you use code unofficial50. It's just $49 a month for full access to every feature. Take action now with Cleverific to slash your customer support tickets, speed up order processing, and reduce returns. That's cleverific.com/unofficial. With product seeding, you get the thing, the content hole must be filled, and you know, it's cool, like you want to be like, hey, thanks. And so you share it. And then, but then that's it, you know, unless you suddenly become like really into whatever the thing is that got sent. The chances are you're right, they're not going to continue making content. But the idea is you take that product seeding a step further by all incentivizing it monetarily with
exactly
this affiliate program. Okay, clever. Surely you have TikTok experience and opinions here.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot with TikTok.
Affiliate marketing in this context has been around a lot longer than TikTok has. How has TikTok changed marketing strategies around affiliate?
That's a really great question. There's so many different ways. I think one strategy that really stands out that I've seen a lot of brands implement, I like to call it like manufacturing virality through short form content. I mean, we've seen brands.
How this is so hard to do consistently.
It is. But there's a strategy behind it. And we've seen brands just blow numbers out of the park with this type of strategy. So essentially like what we see brands doing now is they're finding, let's just say 50 influencers. Actually, I'm not going to use the word influencers. I'm going to use the word creators. And that's intentional. Because a creator in this sense is just any individual with the capacity to create good content. An influencer implies that they have an audience. And for this strategy, they actually don't need to have an audience at all. So let's say you're a brand, you need to find 50 creators. They could be UGC creators. Maybe they could be like super, super small influencers on TikTok that could also be a creator for you. What's unique here is that these creators are actually not going to be posting from their own pages. They're going to be creating a new page just for this partnership that is branded as your brand. So if the brand is Yeti, for example, the influencers would all create a page that's like at Yeti or at shop.yeti. Like they would all make their own variations of a branded page, and they would do this on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube. So each creator would make three brand new pages from scratch. And essentially what they do is they're going to create short form content, so they can post that right on TikTok, on Instagram with Reels, and on YouTube with Shorts. They're going to create daily short form content, and they're going to post it on all of these channels, and they're going to post it with their affiliate links and codes. So it's a way that you're basically getting a lot of content put out on all short form channels. And if you find creators that know how to make good content, which you definitely should be able to, it's not too hard, you're going to get, let's use the 50 creator example. 50 creators, they're all creating three pages each, right? Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. So across all 50 influencers, you now have 150 new pages that were put out into the internet. If they're creating three pieces of short form content per day and repurposing them across all three channels, That's 450 pieces of content per day of short form video made by high quality, like creators that know how to make high quality videos going out into the internet. When you do organic content, quality organic content at that volume, the math works out that just some simply will go viral. And once you start to learn what goes viral, then you obviously have your creators make more content like that, and you're creating a content bank of the best performing content, and you're sharing that with creators. But the creators are incentivized to do this because they have their codes in all the posts. They have their links, their affiliate links in the bios. So every time a purchase happens from a creator's video, they're getting a commission off of that sale. So they don't even need to have an audience up front. It's all basically going viral because of like the For You page. And you know, it's just the way these short form platforms work. It's followers don't matter as much. And we've seen brands do this and start with like, you know, small amounts of creators, let's say 20 or 50, and scale it to hundreds, maybe even thousands of creators, all making their own page, all making it across three platforms and creating short form content daily with their links and codes and posting it everywhere. It's truly incredible the amount of not only content that you get from this type of strategy, but real attributable revenue. I mean, we've seen brands generating literally 25% of all of their revenue, and maybe even some brands doing higher that we just haven't interviewed, but just from the strategy alone. So you could think if you're like really relying on paid ads, you can make 25% of your sales come from TikTok organic from these creators. That's obviously really impactful.
So you're taking that product seeding idea and just supercharging it. We've got, we identify 24 people. We get the product into their hands, and it's really simple, like DM them, Hey, we love what you're doing. Could we send you this? No strings attached. Send it to them. However many get it, follow up. You know, they post about it, and then you're like, hey, that's great. Here, would you want to sign up for our affiliate program and get paid for this? At what point does it shift from, you know, gifted product seeding to here's the affiliate link or sign up for the program?
So with this TikTok strategy in particular, I think most of the creators actually upfront know that this is exactly what they're signing up for. It's not like, hey, would you also want to join this TikTok program? It's more like, let's find creators that want to do this exact strategy. So yes, of course, we're still giving them the product so they can film their content, but we're reaching out to creators who probably aren't getting gifted product frequently because they, like I said, they're not real influencers. They don't have a big following. The value is just in their ability to create content, because with these short form platforms, if they can create good content, it's going to get a lot of traction and views and ultimately lead to sales without them needing to have any following. So I would say like the influencer seeding program, where you invite them into your affiliate program after, is a bit of a separate approach. I would probably keep those programs separate from each other. Now, of course, there's always a scenario where you gift an influencer a product and they're down to join the TikTok like manufactured virality program that you're running as well. But oftentimes with bigger influencers, they aren't going to be super excited to make these three new pages and to post like certain deliverables every day, because the bigger influencers, they want to leverage their audience. That's kind of the value they can bring. So if you are partnering with them on a performance deal, they know that they could probably generate more sales by posting on their page because they've spent so much time building up that audience. So usually it's a different demographic of creator that's falling into each type of these campaigns.
I had not considered it or thought of it that way. That's interesting. So we want, when selecting the right creators, obviously like they need to align with us, with our brand values. They need to have like some vague interest in what we're doing. You know, that's like the basic hurdle. But we want micro influencers, people who are, you know, pre-viral success, don't have huge followings, you know, probably I'm guessing less than 15,000. And then we get them to create the content regardless of who is successful. Once we identify the stuff that is successful, it sounds like there's a feedback loop here where you're going back to everyone and going, hey, here's like, this is what's working right now. This is what's trending.
Yeah, exactly. So when you start to see what kind of content works, obviously you want to try to replicate similar content so that you could continue going viral. If you have these 450 videos going out a day and on average three are going viral, you could make that number go up to like 20 by just kind of tweaking the type of content that these creators are putting out. Obviously that's super advantageous to everybody that's involved here. So yeah, so the feedback loop consists of finding the content that's going viral, creating a content bank and sending, let's say, like a weekly newsletter to all of the creators in this program saying, hey, this is what's been working, this is what's going viral, here's the content bank to reference. And then some brands have even taken it a step further and they've created like Discord groups or Slack groups with the creators where they could collaborate, which has been pretty cool to see too.
That's cool. When you do that, it really starts to feel more like a community effort, more like a team.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And they're all helping each other.
It makes it easier to do. I think the interesting part here is that you're engaging in creator education. You're helping them with like, okay, this is what's working.
Exactly. Exactly.
Any tips on or tools on finding those creators?
Yeah, it's really interesting because for these specific creators that you'd want for the TikTok program, you often want people that don't have any social following. They just know how to create good content. So you have to think like, who are...
That's tough. How do you find someone like that?
It is tough. So you have to think like, who are the people that know how to make good content but haven't amassed a following yet? And it's usually UGC creators. UGC creators that are not influencers, but UGC creators that are just paid by brands to make content for them. They know how to make great content, but they're not influencers of their own. They just make content for brands so they know what works and what doesn't. That is a great place to start. So like, I mean, Twitter is a great place. If you post looking for UGC creators, I'm sure you'll get like a good handful to reply to any post that uses that hashtag. Beyond that, I would say like, not even micro influencers on TikTok, like nano influencers on TikTok, like the smallest influencers on TikTok you can find. This is a bit of a manual search. Like, I'm not saying that it's going to be super easy, but you probably would just search through keywords and hashtags and different topics and try to find creators that haven't popped off yet, but are really trying and are making good content. There is a lot out there. There's plenty out there. It's not that hard. And then once you find them, then you do the outreach to them. Once you have like 50, well, you know, we did the math. If you have 50 in the program, that's 450 pieces of content per day. So really, really powerful stuff with a small number of creators to start with.
And so these people are willing to just create this amount of content on what's essentially a gamble for them.
Yeah, they know that they have the reputation of the brand behind them and they know that there's a huge opportunity to earn here. And right now, like if they have a video go viral, they're going to make $0, right? With their where they are right now with their TikTok page. If they have a video go viral with an affiliate link for one of these brands, they can make thousands of dollars from one video. So that's obviously really enticing to these creators.
And so once I have that content, I post that on my own page, but use their affiliate link or we both post it?
They post it on their pages. So they would just post it on their branded pages with their affiliate link. So they're doing all the posting for you. You don't have to post any of it yourself. Obviously, if you wanted usage rights to repurpose it, that's a different story. But I'm just saying with this specific strategy, they would be posting it on the new pages for your brand that they've created on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube with their affiliate link and code. And they'd be posting roughly, let's say, 3 pieces of content per day across all 3 channels.
You can see where very quickly this would amass quite the library of stuff.
Yes.
It's a process of trial and error too, where you're going to start figuring out, hey, this is what resonates. This is what connects. Certainly there are, having done this, there are going to be some commonalities, I'm sure it's unique depending on, product offer and audience, but what makes content resonate? What gets it to connect? Are there some common elements?
Yeah. I think the overarching theme is capturing attention and keeping attention. So like, a lot of focus goes into the hook for short form videos. Just grabbing attention in the beginning is really hard and really important, like the whole thumb stop. Once you have that, you need to maintain that attention. And that's like where the actual content styles come in. So, I mean, there's, the biggest piece is you want to create content that's not like too much, especially for this type of strategy. It doesn't want to feel too much like an ad. You want it to feel just like something that people would genuinely be entertained by in your niche. So you kind of have to do some homework on people that are your ideal customer. Let's say it's people who are into yoga. What kind of videos are they watching on their own time? Like what videos are showing up organically on their short form feeds? Once you have a sense of that, then you need to figure out, okay, this is the type of content people like that are my ideal customer. How can I incorporate my product into here naturally that doesn't feel like a force? And when you're able to kind of crack that code, which definitely takes a little bit of trial and error, that's when you see the best results. If you're just saying, sitting down saying like, oh, this product's so great, obviously people can just swipe right past that and might not get interested.
Hey, Shopify sellers, listen up. Get ready to unleash your creativity with the brand new landing page builder from Zipify Pages. This isn't just Zipify's biggest update ever. It's a revolution in building Shopify store designs. Say goodbye to clunky designs and hello to total customization. With Zipify's new builder, you're the boss of every pixel on your site. Drag, drop, swap elements, it's all in your hands to craft the most effective layout for conversions. Zipify Pages come straight from the founder of a $180 million e-com empire. These templates aren't just pretty, they've been tested in the arena with a nine-figure Shopify store. And it's easy to use. A few clicks and your product pages, marketing pages, blog pages, even your homepage will be looking sharp and conversion optimized for maximum sales. And because these templates are tested in a nine-figure Shopify store first, you know they actually work. So why settle for the standard when you can have a site that's uniquely yours? You could try Zipify Pages in their brand new builder for free for 14 days when you go to zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify Pages for free. And if you tried Pages in the past and thought it wasn't for you, you owe it to yourself to try it again because the new Zipify Pages is a game changer. Zipify.com/Kurt. Check it out. Certainly, there's got to be like particular categories that just lend themselves to it that work better. And I assume it consumer packaged goods, stuff that visual, you know, it is visual, that is appealing. If I could show it in video, inherently, you know, stuff that includes motion is immediately more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right about all of that. I think I've seen supplements do really well. I think just people talking about stories of supplements, like, oh, this was my, you know, 30-day transformation or something, like storytelling really goes a long way on these short form platforms as well. But yeah, I mean, consumer packaged goods, totally. Things that are visual, I very much agree. Anything that involves showcasing the product and whatever, like with a supplement, you have to get more into storytelling because there's not much to see, right? It's a gummy or a pill or a powder. With a product that's like maybe a fitness equipment, there's a lot more you can show and actually, you know, impress people with how things look. So it's going to depend on your product and it's going to depend on what your ideal customer already is watching in the short form. Once you can find that sweet spot, that's usually when you start to see traction.
I did one. I've got the classic, the TV too high. My TV is above my fireplace. And so I got one of those cantilevered mounts where you could like you grab the TV and it'll come out on an arm. And
nice.
Like down.
Nice.
And it's pretty sweet. And I got it for this company. And so I made, I'm like, you know, I talk about it all day on a podcast. I mean, let's put my money where my mouth is. I'm like, I'll make my own portrait video, my own UGC of this. And so it's like before and after, and I cut it real tight and like sped it up. And it did extremely well when I did it as a reel, when I did that on Twitter. And I, you know, uploaded this UGC and I tagged them. And then I didn't hear one word from these people. And so I'm like, you know, hey, congrats on your successful business that you can like completely ignore all this content and opportunity. Because when I look, like, they had zero social presence. I was really surprised by that.
It's a missed opportunity, for sure.
Yeah, it felt like a missed opportunity. And in my head, I've been, like, with your advice, you know, I'm like, wow, I'm thinking of all the brands that have those libraries and aren't leveraging it or have stuff that just tends to video well. I think the other thing, TikTok and social media in general, but, like, TikTok for sure, very trend based, right? And sometimes those trends can be longer lasting, like, you know, the tiny mic's been around for years now, or you know, just like whatever the recent song or fad is. I don't know, I sound so old now. But like, does my UGC content, does it exist independent of trends? Should I be levering trends? You know, how should I be approaching trends here?
It's a good question. I think it's just another angle to test. I wouldn't say trends are necessary. I wouldn't say they hurt either. I think sometimes if you can figure out how to actually incorporate your product into a trend, like it can definitely do incredibly well. I mean, it does do incredibly well. But just because there is a trend doesn't mean you need to force it if there's no way. But that being said, there's no reason to not test it. So like if these creators are creating three pieces of content a day, they have a lot of wiggle room with what they can test. They can really get creative trying new content angles. So it's something worth testing, but I wouldn't be devastated if it didn't work for every product, because it's not always going to work for every product.
I've got my creator army, which when you phrase it like that, it sounds awesome, right?
Yes.
I got my creator army. I'm at Discord and I'm like, hey guys, here's the content that's working. Here's what's trending. Here's what you're promoting. Can I tell them, hey, we've got this sale coming up. Like, help us promote that. Can I give them themes? Does it not look organic then?
No, I think that's totally fine. It doesn't have to be the sale period. Let's say you're doing this over BFCM. It doesn't have to be the main focus of the video. It can be, right? But it doesn't have to be the main focus of the video. It could be included in the caption or in the call to action at the end of the video. I would definitely involve your affiliates in promoting offers, because not only are they going to probably have an easier time getting customers when there's a larger discount that they could help share, but you know, we have a lot of brands that will, during these, like, let's say BFCM sale periods, also increase the commission that they're paying out to influencers, because during sale periods is the most competitive time to work with an influencer, just like it's the most competitive time to bid on the same ad inventory. So with that being said, like, influencers have a lot of choices over the brands that they can partner with. And if there's another brand that's offering a higher commission, you obviously want to be the most competitive offer for this influencer to promote during that sale period, because they only have so much inventory of their own feed and story or wherever they're sharing that they can deliver to their audience, not be too spammy during the sale period. So yeah, I think getting them involved and really increasing the incentives to keep them engaged during those sale periods is definitely really impactful as well.
Okay. So good idea to include them on that. And I could even try and, increase my reach by upping my payout to further incentivize affiliates. We have talked about, well, we need a way to track these sales to pay these people out, because it's performance based. And so we could do links, or we could do discount codes. What's your preference, or like pros and cons? What's the right way to do it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say there's a few factors to consider, like, codes obviously can be saved, and you could watch an Instagram with a code and then buy later on your laptop, and we're still going to be able to track that sale because the code hopped from one device to another. Links don't do that. Links are just kind of stagnant on whatever browser the user first clicks on. It'll apply a cookie, and then if they buy later, there's no attribution for that, which is obviously not ideal. Codes come with their own downsides too. They could leak to coupon sites or browser extensions like Honey, and then you could lose a lot of sales. One attribution method that we help brands implement is something proprietary to Social Snowball called Safe Links. It's essentially a coupon code replacement that still allows affiliates to share a discount with their audience without the risk of the code getting leaked. So essentially, like, it's just a replacement for coupon codes. Wherever an affiliate would say, use my code for 10% off, they would say, use my link for 10% off. And it looks just like a normal affiliate link, but what's unique about it is when a shopper clicks on that link and makes it to your store, in real time, they'll have a unique single-use code generated from your Shopify and then given to them in their shopping session for them to use. But the next time a different shopper clicks on the same link, they'll get a different single-use code to use during their shopping session. So everyone that clicks on the same link gets a different code. Every code is single-use. So if any of the codes leak to a coupon site or Reddit or anywhere, it doesn't matter because they're all single-use and there's no value for it to be on Honey or anything like that. And the affiliate still has like a mechanism that they can share with their audience that passes along a discount, but you just don't have to worry about the codes getting leaked and spammed everywhere.
That's sweet. Yeah, it's such a pain when you're like, oh, I'm getting all these sales. And then you realize, oh, it's because it, you know, some Chrome extension just went ahead and stole that coupon code for me. Thanks for that. And then it's frustrating for the affiliate too, right? Like they're like, oh, I'm getting all these sales, you know, and I'm going to get this payout. Oh, like a whole bunch of these end up being fraudulent. Do we make landing pages? Like when we got to send the traffic, if we're using links, we got to send the traffic somewhere.
I would say for bigger influencers, it's worth the time to make a landing page. For like customer or smaller affiliates, there's not a need. I think it's a bit confusing for you to refer your friend to buy something and then you have like a landing page for that. It just is maybe adding more confusion to the buying experience than necessary. But for bigger influencers, I think it can definitely be impactful for sure. It's just like a more it's just a more cohesive experience from the influencer all the way to checkout.
Yeah, I think I was overthinking it. You're right. That does make sense. It'd be weird if I was, was like, hey, you should, you got too much recycling piled up. You should buy these electric scissors. And then I send like a link with an affiliate, you know, the Quarry string in there and the UTM tags. And I send that to like my brother-in-law. With a landing page that's got my face on it. Like, what in the heck? What are you doing?
Exactly. But if it was Kim Kardashian, then it might like make a little more sense. So,
yeah. Well, you know, like Kim sends me those links all the time. So, like,
exactly. Yeah.
I'm used to it for her.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying how often she does it.
in our group chat, you see it too. So let's bring it back to the beginning. Go to it. Someone who's, I have a Shopify store. It's making sales. We're seeing success. We want to start with your modern affiliate strategies. Where do we begin?
I really think the best starting strategy, the low hanging fruit, the least lift as far as work needed, but the biggest ROI is a customer to affiliate program. If you have that post-purchase sequence running on the thank you page and your post-purchase emails and it's clear messaging and it's well and, you know, great incentives, you can generate really meaningful revenue from turning customers into affiliates without a lot of management work, right? The only thing you need to do is maybe go in and send the payouts once a week, which is super easy. It's two clicks from within Social Snowball. It's not a ton of work, but it can be really meaningful revenue. Now, if you want to start another program that's doing like massive outreach to influencers or this creator like TikTok strategy that we're talking about, it's a great strategy, and I think every brand should try it that can, but it just either requires more bandwidth on your side. So either you need more time freed up, or you need like a team member to do it, or you'd have to like maybe partner with an agency that specializes in this. But the customer affiliate program is just super hands-off and easy to launch. So that's why I usually recommend brands start with that if they're strapped on bandwidth availability.
You're right. I mean, the one is kind of like you set it up and the majority of the work is up front. The other just is ongoing work. There's no way around it. But you know, the potential there is pretty huge. So your site, socialsnowball.io, you have some cool resources here, like some playbooks, some guides. And I ended up like that's why you got this interview, is because I read those and I was like, oh, this is really good. Like I want to pick his brain on these. So tell me about some of these free resources.
Yeah. So this is like kind of just, instead of marketing, we just do this kind of stuff. Like we just create really cool content that teaches strategies. You know, we could build the coolest software ever for affiliate and influencer, but if nobody knows how to execute any strategy, then it's almost useless to them. So we put a lot of time and effort and resources into creating these content pieces. So on our website, we have like a really cool one going over the TikTok manufactured virality strategy. We have one that's more of just a general influencer marketing playbook with a lot of different strategies in there. And something that we're working on now is what we're calling Social Snowball Academy, which is going to be a video course series of basically a bunch of experts in influencer marketing and e-commerce going and telling their strategies and what they've done that's been successful and teaching that in a long form video course. So we love this kind of stuff. It's really fun for us to create these pieces of content and people really like it. So it's something that we're going to just do a lot more of next year for sure.
That's fun. Creating the content is fun. And I like doing creative work. I like being productive. I like helping people. When you make educational content, it's all of that combined. And then, you know, it's tough to predict like what will and won't resonate. And that's where it's nice to have experience and go easy on yourself and like be able to repurpose stuff. But when it does land and it does get that reaction you were hoping for, man, few things are as satisfying.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
So I put, I'll link to all that stuff in the show notes. Otherwise, and it's on your website. What's your website?
Socialsnowball.io.
And Social Snowball also available in the Shopify App Store.
Yes.
Mr. Noah Tucker, any other notes, anything else you'd like to include or leave our listeners with?
No. But thank you so much, Pierre, for the time. This was a lot of fun, and I hope the listeners find these strategies valuable.
My pleasure. I'm so glad I booked you and went over this with me. I learned a lot. I'm just, that Mantle company needs to get on it. I'm emailing them right now. I'll be like, here's some PDFs you got to download. Read these. We'll see if we could get them. They're not, I didn't even know these people. I'm just giving them a hard time.
Let's just cold email them with the guides.
Here's some guides. Just read these. Get back to me.
We can have Kim Kardashian do it anyway.
Noah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.